God sent his son to earth so we could identify with him. He identified with us in death. He came, the wages of sin is death. That's what scripture says. We're all destined to die. A price had to be paid. And so he came, lived an earthly life as a human being, suffered in every way, as we do yet without sin, and he died. He took on an identity that we can identify with. But he also lived an identity that we are called to identify with. And Hebrews does such a good job. Really, it's a book of identity again and again and again. It calls the identity of Christ to us. Talks about him as the our high priest who in that passage has suffered in every way, as we do yet without sin. It says, therefore, come to him in your time of need to find help and mercy in your time of need. And I want to read just a short passage because it calls us to identify with Christ. We identify with him, right? And he identified with us. And in Hebrews 12, it's kind of funny because this is actually a passage on faith. But do you know that faith is lived out of an identity? Do you know that? And actually, as I read this passage, if you were to go back into Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith, you would read about a bunch of other people that we are told to pay attention to, right? They had faith. So faith is actually reproduced many times by what we see in the lives of other people. And it tells us, as I read this, you'll notice it says, because you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. This is a reference to all those people in Hebrews 11, okay? All these people that lived a life of faith. But the one person it tells us to fix our gaze on is Christ. And the reason is because he came and lived faith. He's the author and the perfecter, it says. And he lived a faith that we are called to imitate. It tells us to keep our eyes on him. And so we have to understand his identity. We have to understand his identity. You've got to know something. Scripture says that Jesus came to his own people and his own people did not recognize his identity. Right? If you don't recognize the identity of Christ, what's the likelihood that you're going to live out a faith that represents who he is? You're not. And that's why Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes. So let me read this. It's Hebrews. You've heard this before, probably. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. That's a reference to Hebrews 11. Go and read that. These are all these people that live by faith. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're called to mimic the faith of Christ, but if we don't know his identity, if we don't know how he came, if we don't know what we're called, and I said this, when you know, we're called to fix our eyes on Christ and to consider him, but when you look at him, who do you see? Isn't that interesting? Jesus asked his disciples a question like that. Who do men say that I am? Then he looks at them and he says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And really, you know, it's interesting to know who other people say Jesus is. But it really boils down to you're the one that's called to live this faith. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? So who was Jesus? Well, I love Christmas because Christmas is a story of identity. It's not just a story of God giving us something, right? Have you ever had a stranger walk up to your door, knock on your door, and give you something? A gift? Cassandra and I do it every year. We go to our neighbors. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. Every year we get to know more of them, but we give them cookies, right? And it's a really nice gesture. It's a really great way. I'd encourage you, if you live in a neighborhood, you've been there for a while, start doing it. People will begin to look for you. Matter of fact, I'm out shoveling snow yesterday, and a guy, I don't even know who he is. He stopped. Hey, I'm like, oh, tell your wife those cookies are so good. I'm like, cool. Like, you know who I am. I met another guy. I didn't even know he knew my name. And I'm talking to him. I knew his name because, like, he's got a reputation. So I'm talking, and he goes, well, thanks, Brent. I'm like, uh-oh, he knows who I am, right? So anyway, but think about this. It's one thing to stop and just give somebody a gift. It's another thing to say, I'm going to come and live with you. The pain that you experience, I'm going to experience with you. The hurt that you know, I'm going to hurt with you. And the death that you should die, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to identify with you. Okay? This is the story of Christmas. So who is Jesus? Because we're called to fix our eyes on him, consider him, follow him, mimic him. Right? This is what we're called to do. So I want to read from Luke chapter 2. Tion read from Micah, right? Which does this, and this is leading up to the video that I want to play, and after that we'll take communion. Video is 20 minutes. It's a good video. I choke up every time I watch it. I've only watched it twice, but anyway, it gets me all the time. You guys are going to enjoy this. If you've seen it, you'll enjoy it again. If you haven't seen it, it's amazing, and it really draws out this truth and nails it down. But let's read this. I want to read through the account of the shepherds. Now, we went to Israel. So many things we learned about the shepherds. And so let's read this. I'm just going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 18. This is Luke's account. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of all the earth, of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each in his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. You should underline that. For today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with them an angel of the heavenly, or a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. All who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. I've heard that story since I was a kid, read just about every Christmas. Couple of things I didn't know about this story, and they have to do with identity. They have to do with the identity of Christ and the shepherds specifically. So you notice It says they were in Bethlehem, and it says, and in this area, in this region, there were some shepherds. So we didn't know this, but when we got to Israel and we were in Bethlehem, we were driving around, and I don't even remember who it was that told us, if it was Lynn or it was our guide, but they said, okay, so in this area, in this region, right, is where all of the sheep and the lambs were raised that were used in the temple sacrifice. Okay? He goes, they weren't just brought in from anywhere. This is the ones that were used for official temple sacrifice in Jerusalem, were raised here. And he goes, now, we don't know, doesn't say in the story that these were the shepherds that were watching over those sheep, but he goes, another interesting fact, he goes, when the priestly robes from the temple service were worn out, what they did is they sent them to these shepherds. And what they would do is they would tear them up, right? And they would use them to wrap baby lambs. And so what does the angel say to these shepherds? This will be a sign to you. You know what these are and you know what they're used for. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Wow. That, when they told us that, I'm like, now the story makes a little more sense. I mean, not that it didn't make sense before, but it wasn't just a random story. God comes to these people and he says, listen, I'm going to give you a sign of the identity of the one that I've sent, my son, the Lamb of God. Now, they didn't put it to words. It was a little bit later. John the Baptist is actually the one that is quoted when Jesus comes to be baptized at the Jordan, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But, you know, Jesus' identity was being revealed. You know, he's the one we're called to fix our eyes on. If you look at Christ as the Lamb of God, you may live out your faith a little bit differently than because the nation of Israel was looking for a warring king. That's why they couldn't recognize him. We don't want a lamb. We want a warring king. We want somebody that's going to come in, wreck these guys that got their thumb on us, and set us free. And God said, no, this will be the faith. And this is my son. And this is how he will live out his life. And this is the one that I've called you to follow. And clear into the book of Revelation, in chapter 7, it says that in the center of the throne room is the Lamb. And he will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. The Lamb of God, who do you see when you fix your eyes on Jesus? Because it will cause you to imitate and mimic and live your faith in a certain way. I'm glad he associated with me. I want to be able to associate with him. Why? This all goes back to the series we're in. Because the Lord is our shepherd. If I'm not a sheep, I don't need a shepherd. And so he came. He identified with us in death, but we are to identify with him, right? The Lamb of God. So what I want to do is we're going to, I want to do this video. It's called The Shepherd. And the last line, right, just ties up everything that I've said. It's the last question that's asked, and then it ends. And then we're going to have communion together, and I'm going to send you guys on your way. So, amen, you ready? Are we ready? And we'll make sure we don't have any technical difficulties here before, you know, even electronics might decide to take Christmas off. I'm not sure. All right. Amen. Spotless Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Jesus. We're going to have communion this morning together. And so we'll make this easy. I'm just going to set it out. You guys come and get it. That'll be the quickest way to do this. Amen. The thing that always strikes me in communion is that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Who I was, who I am, who I will be. Remember. He's the Lamb of God. And we see his sacrifice on the cross in his death. And so he presents the elements, takes the bread, and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He allowed his body to be broken because that was the punishment that we deserved. But he did that so we could identify with him in his living. So he said, do this in remembrance of me today. What an amazing time, Christmas Day, to remember the identity of Christ, who he came to be, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and that we're told to fix our eyes on him and to imitate and to mimic and to live out the faith that he went ahead of us. What did he say? Take up your cross and do what? Follow me. Follow me. Come follow me. So today we remember that his body was broken for us, so that we could have life with the shepherd. No longer separated by the consequences of sin, his body broken, paying the price. Let's take the bread together. Scripture, we're told that the life is in the blood, that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. His blood was shed for us so that we could have life with the shepherd. We could be the sheep of his pasture, that he could gather us together, his family, as a flock. And today we remember that Jesus came as the Lamb of God. And as I look to him this year and this coming year, Jesus, how do we represent you? How we see you is how we will live you. Help us to see you clearly and to remember that you have shed your blood, not just to save us from sin, but so that we could have life. You are not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. God, no longer will we live to be better versions of our dead self. This blood took away the sin. You were the spotless Lamb of God. You have given us life. And God, in that life, you look to reinstate us as sons and daughters in your kingdom, under your rule and of your government, which there is no end. And so today we remember the blood of the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's take the cup together. Communion is always a committing. It's a committing. It's to committing to the things we're learning, committing to the things that we know about him. Would you commit to just daily asking, God, would you help me to see you today as you are and as you've made me? You're an image bearer of God. We all bear his image. We were created in his image. Doesn't mean the image doesn't get distorted. But Jesus came to take away sin, to give us life, to revive us. For you were once dead in sins, but now you're alive in Christ. And reinstate us in the things that he had planned for us. Daily ask. Jesus didn't just come so we can give gifts to each other. He came to give us life. Are you looking for that life? Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this celebration. I thank you for this group. We've just gotten to celebrate you today and to remember the identity as you came and identified with us, and as we look to you to identify with you, the Lamb of God. God, lead us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We thank you for that. God, we bless each one. We pray for those who are traveling to be with family or have family traveling or just are going to spend time. Would you fill our homes and our hearts with your word and your presence as we remember your son Jesus and his coming and his life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Have a great Christmas day.